You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground.
Hello, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, brought to you by BetUS. I am your host, Mike, and we have a roundtable show today to preview the 2021 Miami Dolphins season. Joining me, my co-host from every Wednesday night, the 2020 Miami Dolphins Fan of the Year, Big E, Ian Berger. Ian, how are you?
Fins up, Mike. Fins up, gentlemen. I'm excited for this show this afternoon, this evening.
Yes, absolutely. And also joining us from the same old Dolphin show, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, how are you?
I am great. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk about our expectations for the season. I think that for the first time in a long time, we actually have real expectations, and that's exciting.
Yep. And his brother from the exact same mother, Josh Katzker. Josh, how are you?
I am fired up, Mike. I can't wait. I got myself an adult beverage. I'm enjoying it. I am pumped up. I'm ready for football. By the time folks are listening to this, we're less than a week away. Let's go. It's football season.
Absolutely. Now, at the top, just want to give a shout out to everyone watching and listening over at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. And also a shout out to everyone who's watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. A big shout out to Carlos Hernandez. And for those of you watching on YouTube, please don't forget, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and smash that like button. Now, before we get going, Josh, you have a little bit of announcement to make here with our website, DolphinsTalk.com, and our YouTube channel. You want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about it. So starting next week, I'm going to be doing a weekly YouTube exclusive show here on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. So if you're not subscribed already, this is the time. Go subscribe, because this isn't the last thing that's going to pop up on the YouTube channel. But a brand new show that we've got coming to you weekly, and it's going to be called Pick Six with David Behrman. David Behrman of ESPN. He's the chief editor for sports betting for ESPN.com. He is going to be joining me on a weekly basis, and we're going to be talking about the Miami Dolphins. We'll be talking about it through the lens of the betting lens. So we'll be talking about it from player props and what is the spread and how the Dolphins going to do this week. And we'll be talking about the Dolphins matchup each week. We'll be talking about the players and how they're going to be performing. But in addition to that, we're also going to be taking a look at six different games from around the NFL each week that we're going to break down on the show from a bettor's perspective. So it's going to be a unique show, a unique take on how you digest the Dolphins. It's something a little different, a little flavor that we thought that some of our readers and listeners might enjoy. So that's going to be coming exclusively to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel starting next week, the week that the season begins. We've got the season preview show all set up. We're going to be talking about Dolphins futures, you know, for the season. Who's going to how many touchdowns? How many touchdowns is Tua throwing? How many yards is Miles Gaskin rushing for? Over. How many yards is Mike Gesicki going to receive
over.
You know, so listen, if you haven't done your fantasy draft yet, this will be a good conversation to listen to, because some of these guys, some of this might be helpful for you. So anyway, that's coming up. It's Pick Six with David Behrman, coming exclusively to Dolphins Talk YouTube channel next week.
Yep. So everyone go to the YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe to it. And also, like I said, smash that like button on all the videos. So to get started here with our 2021 preview, before we get to the games and we make our predictions on each game this year, which we know it's, you know, in August making, or now September, I should say, making a prediction on what's going to happen in the game in November. It's for fun. So don't take it too seriously. But first, I guess the first topic to sort of discuss is, and I'm going to start with you, Ian. Do you think the Miami Dolphins had a good overall offseason?
As a matter of fact, I do think they had an overall good offseason. And here's why I say that. You know, heading into the draft this year, I felt that there were a couple areas that really needed some attention. One, that, you know, the wide receiver room. We all watched that Buffalo Bills game and there were a bunch of drops, you know, from the receivers. And obviously we had some folks that were injured, so we needed some help with the wide receiver room. But then also I thought that from the backfield perspective, I felt like our cornerbacks were really solid, but we needed help with the safety room. You know, so you pick up Javon Holland, who really he's had an up and down training camp, but I think more up than down. And I really find those two areas were probably the biggest areas of concern for me, even though the guys may have a different opinion of it. But I felt that we've addressed some of those shortfalls, and I think we've got some really solid backups as well. Offensive line, you could definitely argue that that was an area of need. We picked up Liam Eichenberg, but we haven't really seen everyone together just yet with that line that they're going to be starting with. So I think that's yet to be seen, but I feel really good. I feel like we did have a really nice offseason.
Aaron, what are your thoughts?
I think it was a really average offseason. I think it was I know we're going to be playing 17 games now, so 8-8 isn't a thing anymore. But if 8-8 was still a thing, this was like an 8-8 offseason. Yes, we needed to upgrade the wide receiver room, and we did it. That said, we also needed to finally feel good about what we have at the offensive line. I don't think any of us think that that's what we accomplished. We wanted to feel like we upgraded the offensive backfield. We added some depth there, but we still don't really have a star running back. We still have major questions there. And I think on the defensive side of the ball, while I think the biggest thing that we accomplished on the defensive side of the ball, it was probably just, you know, salvaging this whole X thing, for even if it's just for a year, just knowing that we were able to keep X under contract, keep him happy for a year, and make sure that he's still out there starting at cornerback. That's probably the best thing that we did. Obviously, we have high hopes for Jalen Phillips, but we don't really know. He barely was out there in this preseason, so it's a big question mark. And I mean, we may have actually regressed at linebacker. Because we released Kyle Van Noy, and we thought, well, that kind of came out of nowhere. And then we made this trade for Bernardrick McKinney, and everybody was saying, well, this kind of makes up for us letting go of Van Noy, and now we just released him. So we're at a point now where it looks like we're starting a Landon Roberts at linebacker, and that doesn't feel like an upgrade to me. So I don't know that we've really made these huge strides. It seems very Dolphins. You take a step forward, you take a step backwards.
Josh?
Yeah, I would echo I kind of agree with everything that Ian and Aaron said. I think the way that I would answer that question is that it's too soon to tell. I think obviously the Dolphins did pretty well when it comes to bolstering the wide receiving core. And that was that was the big thing that we needed to do. We needed to bolster that unit. And we've done that. We brought in Will Fuller. We brought in Jalen Waddle, who are two receivers with very different skill sets than anybody else that was on the roster last year. And theoretically, these are guys that are going to open things up for the rest of that offense. And so the question is, will that open it up so that the backfield can do what the Dolphins want the backfield to do? Can that help Myles Gaskin get to the next level? Can that help the offensive line? Because the Dolphins are keeping people guessing now. You know, one of the things, if you haven't read Warren Sharp's incredible NFL season preview book, I recommend it. And one of the things that he talks about in that book is how the Dolphins were very predictable with their play calling based on the personnel that was on the field. And so are the Dolphins going to be able to find a way going forward this season to mix it up personnel wise to be able to execute and keep teams off balance? They've got the personnel to do it. The question is, will they? I don't know yet. On the defensive side of the ball, it's the same thing. There, I like the Jalen Phillips pick. I like some of those additions that we brought in over the course of the offseason. Bernardrick McKinney, I was pretty excited about. He's no longer on the team. And so it's a question mark about where that defense is going to be. Obviously, keeping Xavien Howard and keeping him happy is a huge, 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 huge plus. Because if we were having this conversation, Xavien Howard wasn't here, this team would have, it would have been a conversation where, no, this team took a step back. Definitely took a step back this offseason. As of now, I'm not really sure yet. I kind of want to see how this team does in those first couple of games, you know, and that first month of the season as it all comes together, as things start to gel, and let's see how they navigate those first, that, you know, that 5-game stretch at the beginning of the season. That's pretty rough. And at that point, we'll be able to take a look at this team and really go, okay, yes, what we did here worked. And there's a plan in place. Tua has taken that step forward and we're ready to go.
Yeah. I think a few things, and you all made great points. I think they did upgrade in some areas. I think number one, wide receiver room is clearly, it's night and day. It's so much more improved than it was last year. I think that's going to be a big help. I think the addition of Hunter Long, really, tight end last year was a strength. I think now it's even more of a strength with Long. I think he's going to add something to the passing game as well. I think he's going to be used a certain way. So there's obviously upgrades there. And I also think quarterback, there's the potential. I'm not saying it's going to happen. The potential to where if Tua plays like we all hope and think he can really upgrade the quarterback spot over what, you know, a typical Ryan Fitzpatrick performance and obviously a rookie first year Tua performance. So I think on offense, a lot of potential is there at those three spots to be much better overall. There's an old saying, God makes no mistakes. Well, God might not make any mistakes, but Chris Greer does. And one of them was not improving this offensive line, because I have no earthly idea how they looked at this unit, went through an entire draft and entire offseason, and think, well, if we draft Liam Eichenberg, who I actually like a lot, but then what else did you do? I mean, you signed Fluker, who's an older guy. You signed Matt Skira, who's already gone. He didn't even make the 53-man roster. Now you're forced in late August to trade for guys like Greg Little and Greg Mantz, which you shouldn't have to part with anything to make those moves. And as I've said on our show so many times, I'm less concerned about the starting five and more concerned if, God forbid, somebody goes down, because I don't think we have, you know, obviously somebody has to be on the bench between Liam Eichenberg or Jesse Davis, but there needs to be more. And that really, really concerns me a lot, that we didn't do enough this offseason. And it's going to be a bug up my you-know-what that we are paying Eric Flowers $6 million to play for the Washington Redskins, when if we're paying him, might as well just sit on our bench in case we need him. That one really bothers me. There's that. Also, running back, we've beaten a dead horse on this topic. And, you know, I think all fans of Dolphins, it's not even that they didn't take Najee Harris, because I'm with you, Josh. Phillips, I think, was the right pick, but they needed to do something. They traded up 8 spots in round 2 for Liam Eichenberg, which is fine, but they couldn't have traded up 1 spot to get a running back. Makes you question that. Probably could have parted with far less, or just signed someone in free agency and pay him a little money. And the last thing before we get to the games is the Miami Dolphins, once again this offseason, ran off a lot of veterans. Kyle Vannoy, Bobby McCain, Eric Flowers, Fitzpatrick for obvious reasons, but they like to go with younger guys. And where's the veteran leadership on this team? Yes, they signed Jason McCourty. There's not a lot of veteran leadership. And I know some of these younger guys we've had in the system are now sort of becoming veterans. I get that. But once again, we are like allergic to anyone over the age of 30. And I don't understand it, because I think to win in this league, you need a healthy mix of youth and veterans. We got the youth part down in spades. The veteran part, it seems like we don't want any. So I think overall, I would say more positive than negative, but that offensive line thing and the running back thing really could be the two areas that prevent this team from reaching goals we all want them to reach this year.
Yeah, well, let me jump in there, Mike, because I think the overwhelming thing that I took away from this offseason is that this is a Miami Dolphins team that is investing in its youth.
Yes.
This is a team that has made the decision. And Flores said it last year, I think it was. Maybe it was at the beginning of the season. I can't remember exactly when he said it. But basically what he said was, it's the guys that are on this roster right now. Those are going to be the guys. if we're gonna succeed, it's because these guys are coming good. And if we're gonna fail, it's because these guys didn't, right? And so I think particularly when it comes to the offensive line, they bet heavily on those rookies that they drafted last year, and then, you know, Liam Eichenberg coming in this year. They bet heavily that those young players are going to take big steps forward this year. And they want to put them in a position where it's sink or swim. And that's exactly what they've done. And so we're going to see how that goes. And I think they've also, you know, they put their faith in Noah Igbinoghene. And right now that is not panning out the way that we would like it to. So right now things maybe not trending in the right direction. But as I said, let's see where we're at a month into the season as things start to come together. I feel like this offensive line is going to find itself at some point during this season. And maybe I'm completely wrong about that, and they never really do. But I think this offensive line has not yet reached its final form in terms of the ability of the individuals within it that joined together to create a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts. And I think it will at some point down the line in this season.
Yeah, I am with you on that. I think when it comes to the guys who start, I think we're going to be, you know, it's not going to be great, but we're not going to be as bad as people think either. I think we're going to be okay. It's just that, God forbid, if something happens, I don't know what's behind them. But I think we'll be okay with the starters. You know, I think they'll hold their own. Okay. Now, we're going to go through the months here of September, October, November, and the December, January games, and just give our predictions on the games. Let's start off with September. We got three games in September. At the Patriots, home against the Bills, at the Raiders. Ian, what are your sort of, you know, which ones are they going to win, which ones are they going to lose, and just some general thoughts on those three games overall?
So this one's going to be kind of easy. I got them all winning. I got the Dolphins winning all three games. And you know, I think this just echoes with how I am feeling about the team and the strengths of the team, you know, going into New England against a rookie quarterback, regardless of how talented we think Mac Jones is. I still think that the Dolphins defense, which in my opinion actually got stronger year over year, I think they're going to give them a very hard time. And most rookies that come in as a quarterback to their first ever NFL football game, they don't have a very good line at the end of that game, because you got to get your feet wet once. And I know Flores is going to probably send everything in the kitchen sink from the house against Mac and make him try really hard. So anyway, that one, the Bills might be a surprise to some, because I do admit that the Bills are a very strong team. But here's the deal. We're going to be at Hard Rock Stadium for week two. That's going to be the first home game at Hard Rock Stadium in 2 years. And that place is going to be jamming with Miami Dolphins fans. And I think that is going to help to breed some energy into the team. I think that the Bills are going to wilt in the Miami sun because it's going to be a 1 o'clock game, you know, in the month of September. So I I think a lot of people may disagree with me on that one, but I do feel a win there. And then the Raiders, I think the Raiders are kind of regressing. I don't think they're I don't know if you can regress from not being really too close to the top. But I think that is going to be the top three. Patriots, Bills, and at Raiders will be wins.
Aaron.
So I originally thought that Cam Newton was going to win that starting job, at least to start the season for the Patriots. And to be perfectly honest, with that being the case, I thought it would look very similar to how the opener looked last year, whereas the Dolphins were going to struggle to stop the ground game. They were going to have to, you know, figure out a way to stop Cam and account for him. With Cam Newton not being there and it being Mac Jones, Mac Jones may give that offense a higher ceiling, but I don't know about it in week one, and I don't know about it against this Dolphins defense with Brian Flores and Josh Boyer running the show. Like Ian said, I agree. Any rookie quarterback making his first start, it's usually not pretty. But against a really good defense that's a really well-coached defense, it's that much more challenging. But that said, I don't think he's going to throw the ball very much. I think if the Dolphins are going to win this game, they better stop the run, because I don't think there's any illusion over there with Bill Belichick that Mac Jones is just going to be slinging the ball around the field. They're going to go in there with the game plan of, we want to run it 40 to 50 times and make Miami prove that they can stop it, because if they can't, then this will be a loss for Miami. But that said, I think it makes it so much easier to game plan for them because it's not Cam and it is a rookie quarterback, that I actually changed this from originally having this as a loss to a win. So I think Miami wins that game. I don't think Miami is ready for prime time, even though it's a 1 o'clock game against the Bills. Yes, could the Bills wilt in the South Florida heat? Sure, but they didn't last year. So I'm not expecting them to do it this year. I just don't think Miami is quite ready to take on that challenge, particularly early in the season. So I got that as a loss. The Raiders game, I think, could go either way because it's on the road. But I do think that Miami is kind of moving in the right direction, and I'm not really certain as to exactly the direction that the Raiders are going. So I do think that Miami can win that game in Vegas. So I've got Miami starting the season at 2-1.
Josh?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting with the Patriots starting Mac Jones week one, how the conversation has gone. Well, oh, Mac Jones he's going to be going up against the Dolphins defense, and the Dolphins are defense going to eat against Mac Jones. And that may very well be the case, but we also need to remember that Tua Tagovailoa is going up against the New England Patriots defense, right? And so that is something that is going to be a challenge. And we're going to see right away what kind of steps forward Tua has taken. That's trial by fire to go into Foxborough and take on the Patriots. So we're going to find out right away, you know, where Tua's really at. Yes, he looked very good against second and third string teams during the preseason. Let's see how he's going to look going up against the Bill Belichick defense that, you know, we said it's pretty easy to game plan for Mac Jones. You could argue that it's going to be fairly easy to game plan against the Dolphins with Tua at quarterback. Now, the Dolphins have Jaylen Waddle, who they haven't had before. So that's going to be, you know, that speed element at receiver and the ability to catch the ball as well is something that, you know, the Dolphins haven't always had at wide receiver. So that's a new element, but they're going to be down Will Fuller. So whatever their full offensive scheme is for that first game, not there yet. Right. That being said, I think the Dolphins will be able to do just enough and win that game in Foxborough, because I do think that the defense is going to perform really well. And that is a very tough task for Mac Jones in week one to go up against a very tough Dolphins defense that is a pretty solid unit top to bottom. As far as week two against the Bills, listen, I as much as I would love to say that I can see the Dolphins coming in there and beating the Bills, which it's certainly a possibility, that this is one of those things where the Dolphins have been so far behind the Bills as a team that I just can't in good conscience say that I think the Dolphins are going to go in and definitely beat the Bills until I see that they can do it. So, you know, the Bills have a tough an offense that is difficult to stop because of what Josh Allen can do. And while there are certainly people that think Josh Allen is in for some regression this year, what we saw, that connection that he developed with Stephon Diggs last year, that's legit. So I think the Dolphins will probably come up just a little bit short. As I said in my season prediction summary for the article that's going to be posted on DolphinsTalk.com, plug, the Dolphins are ready to compete. The Dolphins are here. They're here. They're ready to compete right now. The question is whether the Dolphins are ready to win. And I think this game against Buffalo will be close. What I don't think is that the Dolphins are going to come out on top at the end of it. As far as going to Vegas, I think the Dolphins, being a team fully healthy and having gotten a couple weeks of regular season football under their belts, is going to have no problem going to Vegas, going to the Death Star, and getting the big win on the road. So I see the Dolphins starting the season 2-1.
Yeah, I also have them 2-1, but a little bit different. The first game against the Patriots, I think when it went to Mac Jones, same way that Aaron said, that really switched it to me from a loss to a win. I think they can win week one. The only thing that scares me in that game, when you give Bill Belichick a month, and he's really had since May, once they released the schedule, to prepare for one game, that is a little bit scary. But I think Miami's offense is going to be a little bit of ahead of the Patriots offense. And the Patriots offense, outside of the running game, they really don't have much at wide receiver. Their tight ends are good, but they don't have much at wide receiver. So I think Miami wins that game. Week two against the Bills, I have a win only because law of averages, we got to beat them eventually once. And I think this is it at home, 1 o'clock in September. That's law of averages, if you're going to beat them, that's the week it will probably happen, because it ain't going to be when they travel down or up north and play them at whatever they call that stadium in that hellhole Buffalo. Week three, I actually have a loss against the Raiders only because talk about same old Dolphins. After you come off a high of beating the Patriots, beating the Bills, it would be a swift kick to the nuts to then lose to the Raiders. And that's why I got them losing to the Raiders. So I have them going 2-1. I also have the picks for Tom Earnesty. He also has them 2-1. Just flip-flop what I said about the Bills and Raiders. He has them losing to the Bills, winning against the Raiders. But that's my logic, is that we're going to beat these guys at least once this year, Buffalo, and it'll probably be at home. I think that's why I got them there. Now, in October, we got five games. Colts at home, Tampa on the road, Jacksonville, and jolly old England. Then we got – who else? I lost my place. Then we got Atlanta at home and at the Bills. So, Ian, those five games, 3-2, 4-1, 5-0, how do you got them going?
I've got it going 3-2 for those five games. And I think the biggest game that's going to be probably one of the toughest of the season for the Dolphins is going to be at the Buccaneers and at Tampa Bay. I think against the defending Super Bowl champs, I think it's just they have the exact same team pretty much that they had. Actually, not pretty much. They have the exact same team that they had last year that brought them to the Super Bowl. And I think if they all stay healthy, I think it's going to be a really tough win for the Dolphins. So that's why I gave them the loss there. Then also, I gave the Dolphins the win at home versus the Bills. But as you just mentioned, Mike, I can't give them the sweep of the Bills. And I mean, we know how good of a team the Buffalo Bills are. And then I think we can win one of two of them, but I don't think we can get to the point where we sweep them yet. You know, we're not there yet. We're not, unless, you know, strange things have happened. And
it is Halloween, that game.
It is Halloween, that game. So anything is possible. So I've got them 3-2.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think we can all agree. I guess we'll see if we all agree. But I think we all feel pretty good about back-to-back. Well, I guess it's not really a home game because it's in England. But a game against Jacksonville and a home game against Atlanta, I feel like those are two of probably maybe three or four games on the schedule where Miami probably has a decided talent advantage. And the fact that we get Atlanta at home and Jacksonville's a neutral site game, I feel good about those. The road games against Tampa Bay and Buffalo are going to be two of the tougher games on the entire schedule. So what determines whether this is a winning stretch or a losing stretch really comes down to that Indianapolis game that starts the month. And I think Indianapolis, just because they've got question marks with what's going on with Carson Wentz at quarterback, it just seems like they haven't got it quite figured out. They certainly – look, if Carson Wentz puts it together and kind of regains the form of that he had in his rookie year, all of a sudden Indianapolis could be like not just a playoff team but a legit title contender because they have a really good defense. But they've got a lot of question marks on that, and the fact that Miami gets them at home, I think that's a game where I could see Indianapolis wilting a little bit under the South Florida heat. And it just doesn't scare me. The Colts don't scare me. So I've got the Dolphins winning that game and then splitting the rest, losing the two tough ones, winning the two gimmies to go 3-2 for the month.
Josh?
Yeah, same thing for me. I've got the Dolphins losing in Tampa Bay and losing in Buffalo and winning the others. Actually, I was sitting here and I was thinking about it, and I was like, in a lot of ways, the Tampa Bay game is actually a pretty good matchup for the Dolphins defensively, because you got Tom Brady, who is like the quintessential immobile quarterback in 2021. And, you know, so it's really going to be a test for our secondary and our linebackers and their ability to cover those running backs out of the backfield. And the addition of Giovanni Bernard, I think, is going to be really interesting in Tampa. And I think I think that could actually be a pretty good matchup for the Dolphins. And there is a chance that the Dolphins could actually surprise some people there. I'm just not ready to pull the trigger on that as a win just yet. But yeah, with the other ones, I think it all lays out. It's all pretty chalky to me. I feel like the Dolphins should beat the Colts at home, especially a Colts team that is beat up. We're going to see. I mean, a lot of this is contingent upon, can the Dolphins stop the run this year, which was something that they struggled with last year, because otherwise Jonathan Taylor might just have himself a field day. But I think the Dolphins beat the Colts. I think they lose the game in Tampa. I think Jacksonville is a game that they really should win. Same thing with the game against Atlanta. It's a game that they should win, just looking at it from a talent perspective. And then going to Orchard Park, that's the time of year to go to Orchard Park. If you're going to go, going in the middle of the season before it's too horrible outside is a good time to be there. But again, Bills playing at home with that team, and that is as strong as it is, just really difficult to pick the Dolphins to go out on the road and win that game at this point.
Yeah. I think we're all on the same page, because I got them also going 3-2, obviously losing at the Bills. I think it's just going to happen. Now, I do remember last year on the show when we were going through the schedule and the San Francisco game came up, we all sort of said, there's always that one game every year where you just know you're going to lose. You got no chance. And we thought it was the San Francisco game, and they went out and played the best game of the year against San Francisco. Maybe that's how this Tampa Bay game will go. We're going to Tampa Bay. We all expect them to lose. That's the one game we know we're not going to win. And they might go out there and play the game of their lives. I'm getting the same type of vibes when we recorded last year talking about the San Francisco game. But, yeah, Tampa, I think, on the road. Their pass rush, I think, might be too overwhelming for a young offensive line, because they have a really good pass rush. The Colts game, they're a team kind of very similar to Miami in that they're good. They have a good roster, but man, they might just be a little bit like not quite there yet where they need to be. But I think just so many injuries, no Hilton. I think he'll probably be out. It sounds like he's going to miss at least half of the year, if not more. I think their left tackle went down for the year. Wentz has been in and out. And even if he does play, he's had very little practice time all summer. So I think the Colts are a win. Tampa lost. Jacksonville in England's probably going to be a win to make all of our UK fans happy. Atlanta's a win, and then the Bills are a loss, and Tom had the same ones as me. Now, excuse me, before we go any further, it's that time in the show.
Let's do it.
Do you like playing with balls? No, I'm talking about football. No, I'm not talking about footballs. I mean your balls. Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, want you to share. It's later than normal. Want you to shave
everybody your take pubes. Care of your friends' balls.
That's right. Want you to shave your pubes with the Tom Brady of ball trimmers, the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Only the GOAT technology for the greatest balls of all time. When you're going towards the end zone, make sure you use the right tools for the job and choose Manscaped. 2 million men worldwide trust them. So join the movement with our exclusive offer by using the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% on your order and get free shipping. The Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is the perfect package for your package and a key for great grooming and hygiene to make sure your crotch doesn't look like Troy Polamalu. Everyone go to manscaped.com, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20%, get free shipping. Manscaped.com ships to the UK, Singapore, Australia, all across Europe, Canada. So for our international listeners, go to manscaped.com, use a promo code DolphinsTalk. And also, Bettors, life is back on sports bettors. And BetUS has your UFC, PGA, MLB, college football, and yes, NFL betting lines up for their 27th year and live betting on all of it. Log in to BetUS.com or call 800-792-3887. It's 800-79-BETUS. For 125% sign-on bonus when you use the promo code DolphinsTalk. That's right, 125% sign-on bonus with the promo code DolphinsTalk. And if you like to pay by crypto, for you guys out there who are into crypto, if you sign up and you pay by crypto, use the promo code DolphinsTalk200 and you get a 200% sign-on bonus. Customer service pros are ready to get your phone, social, and online sports betting kickoff started. Play with the proven mainstay in the industry. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS.com. Now back to the games.
Love it.
November, we have four games. And I think this is probably one of the easier months in the schedule for Miami. This is where the schedule gets a little bit easier. Houston at home. Ravens at home on a short week. Jets on the road. Carolina at home. Biggie, how do you see it playing out?
Well, Is there a, so we've never had a team go 0-17 in the NFL, right? Is it possible that the Houston Texans can go 0-17 this season?
It's possible, but they played Jacksonville twice, so I don't know. I think they might get one there, but outside of those teams, yeah, I think they have a good chance of losing them all.
You know, and without Watson playing, I think it's going to be a win for the Dolphins. Of course, too, we all have been around a long time when there were these easy wins that the Dolphins were supposed to have, right? And then for some reason we lost, but I think that's going to be a win. Then we go to that Thursday night game, the Ravens. I have us winning against the Ravens, you know, but at this point, you know, what are we at? Based on my prediction, we're at 7 wins at this point with 2 losses. And I think I have a lot of confidence in what the Dolphins are doing. I think the only questions I have about this one is, you know, last season we had a hard time dealing with mobile quarterbacks, and Lamar Jackson is the best when it comes to being a mobile quarterback. So, you know, I think we could have a challenge there, but again, it's at home. It's going to be on prime time on a Thursday night for a football game. I'll be there screaming my head off. So I think I'm going to go the positive route and say it's going to be a win. And then at the Jets, you know, they're a young team. I really like what Robert Saleh is doing with the Jets. I really like him as a head coach. I think he's going to be somebody that does well over time, but not his first season. And I think it's going to come with some bumps. And I feel the Dolphins are going to win that game as well. So Texans, Ravens at Jets win. Then we come home and play the Panthers, and I think it's going to be a loss. And the reason why I say that is because I think again, you win 3 in a row, you start getting really, really up, really positive. You don't expect much. And I think they end up losing the Panthers. And of course, too, the Panthers do have one of the best running backs in the league with CMC, right?
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey. Yep. And I think that could cause trouble because he's not just a threat at running game. He's a threat in the backfield to catch it and to run with the ball. So I got us going 3-1, which is still a very good month of November, but 3-1 is what I call.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good month for Miami as well. I think the home game against Houston, even more so than the Jacksonville and Atlanta game from the month previous, this is probably the easiest one of the year. And they're going to need it because it's sandwiched between that road game against Buffalo and the home game against Baltimore. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit here and say that we can't beat Baltimore, but until we can even hang within 3 touchdowns of Baltimore in a game, I am not going to pick us to win a game. We still haven't shown that we can really stop the run. If you can't stop the run, you can't beat the Ravens. Hopefully we get better in that aspect. I'd be happy. I'd be thrilled if the Dolphins can make this a game going into the fourth quarter. That would show me the progress that I want to see. Obviously, I'd be ecstatic if we could win this game. I think that would be huge, but I am not going to pick it. But the remaining 2 games, it really jumpstarts us into the easiest stretch of the season. At the Jets, it's a win. You know, the Jets they're in a rebuild. I don't think they're going to be completely hapless, but I would be surprised if they didn't lose double-digit games this season. So I think that's a win. And then the home game against Carolina, I think Carolina is just kind of a middling team right now. The fact that we've got them at home, they don't really scare me. Give me the Dolphins to win that one. So I agree with Big E that this is a 3-1 month.
Josh?
I feel the same way as you guys. I think the win again against Houston, that's a win. You know, I'm not be very surprised if the Dolphins lost that game against Baltimore, even at home on a Thursday night. I've seen the Ravens just have their way with the Dolphins too many times to be able to pick the Dolphins to win that game. Now, once the season gets going and we're getting a little bit closer to that game and it's time to preview it, maybe I'll feel differently. At this point in time, I have a hard time seeing the Dolphins win that game. So I have that down as a loss. At the Jets, I have that as a win. I feel like the Dolphins should be able to handle the Jets this year. The Jets are They're a young team. It remains to be seen how Zach Wilson is going to play, but I feel like pretty confident the Dolphins are going to get that game, get that win. And then because they are the Dolphins, and this is what they do, you know, at this point I have them, let's see, I had them 5-3, 6-3, 6-4, 7-4, 8-4. I had them at 7-4 coming off of that Jets game. So you're feeling good. You're feeling good about the direction that the Dolphins are going in. And then they have this home game against Carolina, a game that they should win. And it's a game that they will not win. It's a game that they will drop, which will put them to 7-5. That's just, for some reason, that's the game where I feel like that's the game that the Dolphins should win that they don't win. And because they're not quite at that level yet, I feel like this team is going to be much improved and we're going to be right there in that conversation for the playoffs. But, you know, we're not an elite team. We're not a contender maybe just yet. And I think that's going to show its rear its ugly head in that game against Carolina, which is the game that we should win that we don't. So I have that as a loss. I have them split in the month, 2-2.
Yeah, November, I think on the Houston game. Now, Ian, you said something interesting. You mentioned this Watson fellow. We're going to have to talk after the show. I never heard of him. So I've never heard of this Watson fellow you brought up. So
isn't he the guy from Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what he's talking about. So Houston's a win. Now, the Ravens, much like the Bills at the start of the year, I said law of averages, they're bound to win. But with the Bills game, it's sort of just the Bills. With this game against the Ravens, you got two whammies against Miami. One, they suck in prime time, and two, they suck against the Ravens. That's too much to overcome. You can overcome one. You can't overcome both. So with both of those whammies, I got that as a loss. Although when you get closer to that game, that might change. But as of now, that's just too much to overcome. The Jets, MetLife takeover game, that's a win. And hopefully by then, the Jets are kind of a mess, and we can see Zach Wilson's mom like be exploding all over social media. That's all I want to see this year from the Jets. And also the Panthers. I just think the Dolphins have more talent than the Panthers. And the win, Sam Darnold still doesn't really scare me. And their wide receivers are okay, but I think they lost Samuel. So I don't know. I just think that's a win. So I got them going 3-1. Tom as well has them going 3-1 with a loss against the Ravens. Last five games in December, January. You got Giants at home, Jets at home, Saints on Monday night, Tennessee on the road, and then the Patriots. So, Ian, last five games.
First game at home versus the Giants. I was going back and forth on this one, but, you know, I had them losing to the Panthers the week before. And I just think that this is at this point, you know, it's a long season. At this point, we haven't had our bye week yet either, have we? Because it's week 14, if I remember correctly.
Correct.
So I have the Dolphins losing to the Giants at Hard Rock. So at that point, the Dolphins are 9-4. And then at home against the Jets, and we've talked about the Jets already. I don't think they have a solid, you know, the Jets are bound to win some games. I just don't see it against the Dolphins. So I've got the Dolphins sweeping the Jets. And then we go to the Saints, you know, and I know some people are very high on the Saints, but, you know, Drew Brees is no longer their quarterback. And Jameis Winston, I think the last time we saw him starting for a club, he was 30-for-30, right? 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. So I'm not up on them. So I have the Dolphins winning that game. I think the game at the Titans. So when we go to play at the Titans, the Dolphins are going to be 11-4. I have a feeling the Titans are going to have a very solid schedule. I think that game is going to be flexed to prime time. And I think, and that's the day after New Year's, if I remember correctly.
Yep, the second.
And I think the Dolphins are going to lose that one. I do think that the Titans are going to be too tough. So at that point, the Dolphins are going to be 11-5. So then we come home to play the New England Patriots. And I've got us winning that game. And, you know, we're going to sweep the Patriots this year. Which doesn't happen too often, although we have had some really good games against the Patriots over the last 10 years, I'd say. But I think we're going to sweep the Patriots, and we're going to have a final record of 12-5.
Okay. Aaron.
So I've got the Dolphins coming into the last month of the season at 8-4. And then you get, you know, a couple of games where I think you're rounding out that easy stretch of the season. I've already got us winning – you know, the last two games of the month previous, home game against the Giants, to me, that's a win. Home game against the Jets, I think that's a win. So that I've got us flying high at 10-4 on the heels of winning four in a row. And then you've got this stretch at the end of the year, these last three games that are ultimately going to decide whether or not the Miami Dolphins make the playoffs. And it's going to be difficult because you could say what you want about Drew Brees not being there. The fact is the Saints are still a really good team. They've got talent on both sides of the ball. I actually think Jameis Winston is going to do a really nice job for them this year. And if he doesn't, I think they'll be fine with Taysom Hill. But I think Jameis Winston will do a nice job in his second year with Sean Payton. He seems like he's bought in. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life. And I think the Saints are still going to be a playoff team. And you're going into New Orleans playing in the dome in primetime. That is just tough. So I've got that as a loss. And then you're going into Tennessee. And Tennessee is a playoff team, a very much a win now team that is built for this time of year with Derrick Henry. And they're going to run the ball. This is going to be another test for whether or not the Dolphins have improved their bugaboo on the defensive side of the ball, which is stopping the run. And I think, until they've proven that they can beat a team that plays this brand of football when it matters, I'm just not going to buy in until they show me. So to me, a road game in December in Tennessee against a team that is battle-tested, that is, you know, a dark horse Super Bowl contender, to me, this is a loss as well. And all of a sudden, from 10-4 and looking like a shoe-in to make the playoffs, the Dolphins are at 10-6 with a home game against the New England Patriots that I think is for the playoffs. I think losing the game to Tennessee puts us behind Tennessee for the sixth spot. And I think going into the last week of the season, it's going to be between Miami, New England, and maybe Pittsburgh. And maybe another team will be in there to try to get that last seventh playoff spot. And I think that the Dolphins will get it done at home against the New England Patriots. I think the Dolphins get the win. We've played the Patriots well at home. I don't think we're scared. I think there was a certain level of fear when it came to the Patriots, particularly because number 12 was back there. I don't think with Mac Jones you're getting that. We played a big game against New England last year with sort of the season on the line. It didn't end up getting us into the playoffs, but it was a big game. And we had them at home and we took care of business. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't do it this year. So I've got the Dolphins winning that game and going to 11-6. They may need a little bit of help. We'll see if it's good enough to make the playoffs, but I have them going 11-6.
Josh.
Well, here we are coming. I think it's interesting that the brain has the Colts winning the AFC South.
Yeah, I found it interesting too.
Yeah, that was the thing.
You're right. Yeah. Tennessee's going to win Tennessee's going to win that division. So then maybe we end up winning a tiebreaker against the Colts because we beat them. You're right. I screwed that up.
That was interesting. It was interesting to me. But listen, this is going to be an exciting stretch for the Dolphins here. I have us beating the Giants. I am not scared of Daniel Jones. I think that team is a mess. I think the Giants are a sleeper possibility to be one of the worst teams in the league this year. I think Daniel Jones has done just enough, but I think this year he may fall off a cliff, not literally, hopefully. But I think that team is going to be a mess. So I think that's a win for the Dolphins. Again, coming home against the Jets, refreshed off of the late season bye, finally, I think the Dolphins will get the win there. Then they go to New Orleans, which I have down in my prediction as a loss. But the more I think about it, the more I actually kind of like the Dolphins' chances in this. Because Jameis, I don't know, Jameis is a guy who throws pick. Now, maybe it's different now that he's had the LASIK or whatever done so he can actually see the game now. But I don't know. Part of me thinks that Jameis Winston is like ripe for the picking, literally. Like that, like that's a game where Xavien Howard has three interceptions kind of thing. But I have it down as a loss, so I'm going to stick with it for now, even though I think there's a chance the Dolphins maybe actually win that game. And then I think traveling to Tennessee in a game that is very, very big, maybe has some playoff implications. Maybe we're talking about the Titans being in the conversation for the bye in the AFC. I think that's going to be a really tough game for the Dolphins to win. And with a big bruising back like Derrick Henry, that is something, that is the kind of player that the Dolphins have had a really hard time stopping in the past, as Aaron alluded to. And I think that's something they're going to struggle with there. And so Ryan Tannehill is going to win the reunion game. And I think the Titans get the win there. Dolphins lose it, which puts us at, I believe that puts us at, in, according to what I've got, 9-7 coming into the final week of the season. And I believe that that is going to be good enough to have the Dolphins in the playoff conversation. They're going to be in the wild card the wild card picture, because it is, it's seven teams again this year, correct?
Yep.
Yep. They've stuck with that format. So I think this is a situation where the Dolphins are going to come into the final week of the season knowing that a win can clinch them a playoff spot against the disgusting, horrible New England Patriots. And I think there's a decent chance that Mac Jones hasn't made it through the entire season as the Patriots starter, that maybe, you know, his inability to move out of the pocket proves to be a liability in the National Football League. And at some point he gets hurt and, you know, not a serious injury, but, you know, listen, he can't make it through the season. So the Dolphins are up against somebody like Brian Hoyer or Jarrett Stidham. And I think the Dolphins in their regular season finale are going to get the win. And finally, for the first time since 2016, make it back to the NFL playoffs and finish the season with a record of 10-7.
So Ian has him in the playoffs. Aaron, you have him in the playoffs. It's a soft yes. Josh, you have him in the playoffs, and I also have them in the playoffs. Giants game, I think, so win the Giants. I think it's just a nice matchup for Miami, and that their offensive line, you know, much like ours, has a lot of questions, but I think our pass rush can sort of get after Jones, and Jones is prone to making mistakes, and their wide receiver group, I think, will struggle for secondary. That's a win. Jets, I think next year this time, we're going to be looking at the Jets in an entirely new light through a whole different lens, because they have a lot of salary cap space next year, and they have a ton of early round draft picks. They are sort of copying the blueprint of what Miami has done. They're just, you know, 1 year or so behind us. So I think next year, this time, the Jets, we're going to be looking at these games totally different, but not this year. That's a win. The Saints, again, that primetime thing still scares me, and winning at New Orleans is tough. Michael Thomas should be back, I would think, by then. Alvin Kamara is, you know, he's Alvin Kamara. I see that as a tough road primetime game. Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill, it's going to be the Ryan Tannehill revenge game. Why? I mean, should it be a revenge game? I don't know. We had him here for so many years, and we paid him a ton of money, but he's going to have a chip on his shoulder that he's not here, blah, blah, blah. So he'll come out, and I think the Titans just run down our throats, and the Patriots are a win. So overall, Ian, 12-5. Tom, Mike, and Aaron, 11-6. Josh, the negative Nancy of the group, at 10-7.
I'm apparently the negative one.
Yes, that's, with 10 wins.
Negative, I'll take it.
I know exactly.
Playoffs, I would, 10-7 in the playoffs? Come on.
I would sign up for 10-7 with the playoffs right now. I'm not going to lie. So we're going to wrap up with speed round. Two questions. That's it. First question. Give me one bold prediction for the Miami Dolphins in 2021. It can be about the team. It can be about a player. Whatever. Ian, you're up first.
Tua Tagovailoa is going to be in the Pro Bowl.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good prediction.
Yep. That's a bold prediction. Yep. Aaron Katzker.
The Miami Dolphins are going to have 2 1,000-yard receivers.
I think it.
I think that's actually very possible as well. Which two?
Will Fuller.
Yep.
And Jalen Waddle.
I agree. We're on the same page. Josh, one bold prediction.
Michael Pilardi throws a touchdown pass.
That's as bold as it gets. And you know what? If I could bet that somewhere in Vegas, I would bet it. Because I bet you're going to have some crazy play, special teams-wise. My bold prediction is it's going to be a breakout year for Andrew Van Ginkle. Last year, 5.5 sacks. This year, he gets 10 sacks.
Your boy. It's your boy, AVG.
He's my boy. He's going to be on the field more in a larger role, and I think the pass rush has to come from somewhere on this team, and I think he's got as good a chance as any of chasing down the quarterbacks and getting after them. So I think Andrew Van Ginkle has 10 sacks and has a big breakout year. Now, last question. I just want yes or no. We're not going to elaborate. We're not going to go yeah, but, or only if. Just yes or no. Only words out of your mouth. Next year, this time when we are recording this show, is Tua Tagovailoa the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins? Ian.
I'm sorry. How can I respond? Yes, absolutely.
Aaron.
Yes.
Josh.
Yes.
I'm going to go yes. And I'm not going to elaborate because I break my own rule. So that's all for this year's roundtable show. Great job, everyone. Everyone, be sure, like we said, to go to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. We have a bunch of new content coming. Actually, Tom and myself will also be doing a gambling show, a little bit different, maybe more of a comedy aspect to it. We're going to have more of a lighthearted approach as well. That will be on YouTube only. So go to our YouTube channel, subscribe, and smash the like button. Also, check out the website, dolphinstalk.com, each and every day. Tons of new articles, videos, podcasts. We have it all, the news, the rumors that are out there, dolphinstalk.com. Be sure to follow Ian on Twitter at Ian693 underscore. Because the people at Sony Music are evil. Aaron Katzker, where are you on Twitter? I can't remember your handle.
At Aaron the Brain.
Aaron the Brain and Amplify to Rock for Josh. And also Same Old Dolphin Show.
Follow at Same Old Dolphins. We're following everybody back all the way up until the start of the season. So everybody who follows at Same Old Dolphins is getting a follow back. So hit us up.
Yep, and the last thing I want to announce is we next week, probably on Tuesday or Wednesday, probably Tuesday, we are going to make the formal announcement of our DolphinsTalk.com Military Fan of the Year contest. We have the three winners, and we are going to make the formal announcement to make that public, and there's going to be a few surprises in that video, so be on the lookout for that, DolphinsTalk.com Military Fan of the Year, and of course, you can follow myself on Twitter at DolphinsTalk. Everyone have a great Labor Day weekend, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Fins go up, Dolphins!
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.